Forever Dog.
Comic books, comic time. Writers and artists are on the line. They make a splash as a comic's read and take us on a trip behind the spread. Watch out for comic book commentary. Spinning a winning inside fix, how they got a hot idea. Narrative, character, visual tricks, and bam, onomatopoeia. Uh-huh. It's comic book commentary.
Hello, this is Comic Book Commentary, and I'm Carly Houston.
I'm Noah Hayes.
And we are here to talk about our new book, The Avant-Gardes, issue number one. We are super excited to get to go into this with you guys. Hopefully you've read the issue already, otherwise a lot of this won't make much sense. But yeah, I guess we should start by talking about just what is this book?
Yeah.
This is a new book. This is the first issue. And it's about a women's college basketball team at a tiny art school that, it's a little Bad News Bears a little bit, you know, just your classic, can they win, ragtag group of misfits sports story. But this is about a basketball team, a women's basketball team in a fictional NCAA Division IV.
Sports manga is coming to the West.
Exactly. So, I guess we'll just jump in because kind of, since it's the first issue, we sort of lay out a lot of the background that you would need anyway. So, I love this cover.
Yeah, it was fun. I think Shannon gave me, our editor, gave me a thumbnail, and it was all of them in the car and just kind of like written on stick figures, like the names of all the characters, which was helpful because I had no idea what to do when it came to like doing this first cover. Cause it's like the first impression of like these characters and everything like that. And like, I kind of knew where they are cause we had done the character designs already. But being able to just be like, okay, this is where this person goes and who's sitting next to who. And I wasn't worried about like implying anything like about relationships and stuff until for the first one, you know.
Yeah, I love it. Was funny when Shannon showed me the first. So Shannon Waters, shout out to Shannon, she's our editor over at Boom, and Shannon's amazing. And when she showed this to me, I was like, but they don't get in the van in the first issue. I was like, I love this, but shouldn't we save it for like when they actually have a game to go to? She's like, no, don't worry about it. It's great. And I was like, okay, great. Then I'm happy. I love it. But fun fact and preview to issue three is that the way you drew everybody, the groupings, is how I grouped them in the van
when they
go to their first away game.
Now I have to go look at the cover to reference the van and make sure I draw it the same.
I mean, look, listen up, folks. If the van on this cover doesn't exactly match the one you see in the book later, please don't be upset about it. Sometimes vans change.
Yeah. Don't at me on Twitter.
Don't at him. we'll tell you our Twitter handles at the end so that you'll forget how angry you are by then and then you won't have anything to complain about. Probably edit that out. Okay. So I love this cover. They're like off on the road to uncertain game adventures. Yeah. I'll say for a second, like kind of like the where this book even came from. I was talking to Shannon and she was saying that she wanted to do a book about sports and about women playing sports. And we talked about how much our shared absolute admiration and adoration for A League of Their Own and just how like wonderful that movie is and how great those characters are and just how fun those scenes where the team is driving on the bus to games, like how much character development, how much story happens in those scenes that really when you think of it, like when you think of sports, like maybe that would feel inconsequential. Like the game is really what you're after. Like, I want to see the game, want to see the action, want to see who's going to win and like how that affects things. But really it was like these bonding moments on the bus where you learned so much and the characters grew so much. So that was a little bit of a spark for the idea for this. And then I've played basketball since I was in the sixth grade. So I was like, well, if I'm doing a sports book, it's going to be basketball because I love basketball. And I have so much like material to pull from just from my own experience. That's basically where we got this idea. And then the idea of like, where is this team? They're like a fledgling team from an arts college is like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, Noah, but
there was an art college though.
Yeah. It's like when you are someone who is an artist or a creative type, but you have interests outside of that, and sort of what happens when those things collide, and how one can enhance the other, or how they can seem like totally diametrically opposed. And I think that that's kind of like a fun dynamic to play with too.
Yeah. I mean, like, the closest I got to sports was doing marching band, but, I mean, that was, you know, more physically intense than anything. And kind of in that section, like, I played flute in band. So, like, you know, I think that that's the sort of thing of people don't expect guys to play flute.
And, I love that.
And, but yeah, I was going to go on a story, but.
No, I think you should tell a story. Well, let's let the people get to know us.
Well,
and then I promise in a minute we'll jump into the actual story.
This was like, Noah, how did you not know you were gay, like, from the beginning? Because I played flute because there was a Barbie Sleeping Beauty PC game from, like, the 90s. And there was, like, a little puzzle where you'd play the flute and you'd wake up all the animals in the forest. And so, like, I loved it so much. I picked up flute in second grade.
Oh, my God.
Like, this last Christmas, I posted a video of me playing Lord of the Rings music. Because I got drunk with my family, and we, like, had been watching Lord of the Rings all day. And I was like, oh, I've got the songbook. I can play flute. And I could still play. It was, like, great. But
that's
I've been playing
so cool.
For, like, over 10 years now.
And you just, was it like riding a bike? You just knew how to play flute again?
Yeah. It just came right back to me. And I had the ones with, like, the open hole keys and everything, like professional flute with a gold mouthpiece.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was in the presence of a professional flautist.
Yeah.
That is the correct term, right?
Yeah, it is.
I took up acoustic guitar in high school because I should have known I was gay. That was how I should have known. Anyway, this book is really queer.
Yeah.
The creative team is really queer.
Back to sports.
Anyway, back to sports. So the story begins at the Georgia O'Keeffe. What is the name of the school that I get? The ridiculously long name of this school? God.
Yeah, I had to keep looking it up.
I know. I have to keep looking it up, and I wrote it. It is the Georgia O'Keeffe College of Arts and Subtle Dramatics, which cracks me up every time, but it's so long that I forget it. So we just start with sort of a orientation of a new semester. Legally Blonde fans out there, Orin Ovester. It's a very funny joke if you've seen that movie. The way I write scripts is, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still kind of new to comics. So my scripts will have just like either like very open-ended visual ideas where I'm just like, Noah, you figure it out, in which I want to formally apologize for.
Totally,
but also
fine.
Maybe it's like a fun creative thing where you can just like run with it. Like, there's something coming up later in this book that you did that is mind-blowing to me, and we'll get to it. And then sometimes I have, like, ridiculous references. So the reference for this was the orientation scene when Elle Woods goes to Harvard in Legally Blonde.
And I figured, like, every time you brought up a reference, I was like, well, it must be important. So I went and, like, looked up the scene, and the, like, orientation, like, establishing shot is literally there for, like, half a second.
Yeah, it's really important. Also, it's not important.
Yeah. And so I was like, all right, we're taking that composition.
That's so funny. That is so funny. So on to the next page. We're going to meet one of our protagonists, Charlie. And she's coming to school. And she's a transfer student. And so we sort of meet her via her first time as a student at this school. And let's talk about Charlie's character design.
Yeah. It's actually funny. This was like the one thing I do have something to say about.
Excellent.
Because when we did the character designs, you gave me like sort of like sheets of like people to look at.
Mm-hmm. And I gave like one or two real life visual references for each character.
And like kind of just an idea of what their personality is and everything like that. And so, I did three character designs for each character, and then we narrowed it down from there. And for Charlie, there was like, I remember watching behind the scenes for the Aladdin animated film, and there's, and Glenn Keane is talking about the Aladdin's character designs, and he's got all the variations lined up, and he's like, this one's too broad, this one's too skinny, this one's, you know, doesn't look like goofy enough, and this one's too hard to draw. Unfortunately, that's the one we have to draw.
Uh-oh.
And this was the Charlie character design.
Oh no, I'm so sorry, Noah.
And it's fine because it totally works for her. And I kind of like brought in like what I liked from the other two as well when I was like kind of bringing it back. I was like looking at the character sheets to like refresh my memory of what I had done. And I was like, oh, she looks like way different even from like what we picked than she does now, because just as like as I draw all the characters more and more, I figure out like the most efficient way to draw them.
That makes sense.
And so details go away and things, but she like she didn't have her ponytail in the
oh,
one
yeah,
we picked.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I totally forgot about that.
Oh, I like it.
But yeah, it like it adds to her silhouette. Like when I'm thumbnailing, I just add like the little like jagged like firework burst, and I'm like, okay, now we know that's Charlie.
That's how you can differentiate her. I'm pretty sure my physical references for Charlie were Diana Taurasi, who plays for the Phoenix Mercury. Oh yeah, also I'm a WNBA nerd, so I tried to make sure that each character had where I could. I tried to have like one, at least one actual basketball player as a reference. And then some had like actors and comedian references. Charlie was, I think, Diana Taurasi, one of the greatest players of all time. And, Stephanie Beatriz, who plays, Rosa Diaz on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and is a wonderful human being.
And you also had an actress from one of the Step It Up movies, I think.
Did I?
Yeah. I think so.
I don't remember. It's certainly possible.
Yeah. I think I took the hair from that one.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So we see her here, and she's at school. It's an all-female arts school, I should also say. So you get all the crowd scenes. You just get to draw a lot of ladies.
Which, like, killed me. But it was, like, kind of fun to just kind of, like, draw whatever and kind of get in the headspace of, like, what the campus culture would look like and everything. Mm-hmm. And I really tried to lean into, because you said it's 2011, so try to like keep those fashions in mind and everything like that. And I think where I really lean into it is everyone's phones.
That's so funny.
Like in the next one,
there's a lot of phones in the next issue.
Liv's got a BlackBerry. I was like, this was like the year, because I remember I was so like apprehensive to switch to smartphones.
Mm.
And because I know we were talking earlier, I was like, if I could, I'd have a burner phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's the era where we still had like physical keyboards. And like, so I got so excited, like picking phones for everyone and like what that says about their personalities and stuff.
I love that so much.
But I guess Charlie kind of struck me as an iPhone girl.
Yeah.
She's with it.
Yeah, I get that. And I keep like forgetting that I said it was in 2011. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's like now. But like I definitely did say that this was set in 2011. It's really set in everyone's heart.
Yeah.
It's modern day in your heart. Anyway, so she's here at the transfer student desk, and the girl who's checking her in is an improv major, because this is a arts and an art school. So that's not a real major, but it is here. And she does a whole bit, because her name's Charlie Bravo. And she does a little like,
yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Thank you. I also enjoyed it, and I'm really glad you liked it. And then,
Except I do keep calling her Charlie Danger in my head for some reason.
Maybe I'll have one of the players on the team call her that as a nickname.
Yeah. She does something dangerous.
Does something crazy and dangerous. Yeah. And then, so this girl's an improv major. And, we learn that Charlie's first name is actually Charlene, but she likes to go by Charlie. And then she gets a little packet, and we find out that the student activities fair is tomorrow. And we also learn the, like, tagline of the school, which is, where everything is open to interpretation, which also makes me laugh.
It's like liberal arts school, basically.
It's just the most liberal arts thing ever.
Yeah, I like... I have, like, a campus map. I think I still need to show you it.
But I want to see it.
Because there were so many buildings, and I was, like, flipping between. I was like, I have to keep track of this all. And so I was just going to design this courtyard, and then I just ended up doing the whole thing. Because I was like, I'll just keep track of, like, a general idea of where all the buildings are. And so, like, and I've been trying to, like, incorporate flowers for, like, the Georgia O'Keeffe motif, like, as totally. Much as possible. So, like, the like, campus has, like, a central, like, middle. And then it, like, builds out from each
That's
other.
That's amazing.
Like, and I was like, maybe I should do more parking. I was like, no, there can't be too much parking. It's a college campus.
It can't be too much parking. The biggest problem at my college campus was always there wasn't enough parking.
Oh, same.
I want to see that map.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Okay.
It's on my iPad.
You guys can't see it.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We'll probably
find
a way. We'll put it somewhere.
You know, the trade paper.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so then we are, a little while later, we are in Charlie's dorm room. She clearly has a roommate who, you know, her side of the room is super done up, and Charlie's room is still boxes and disarray.
Yeah. This is, my sister's currently at a liberal arts college.
Perfect.
Yeah, she's a theater major, and so I've kind of combined both my alma mater and then her current school. And so, she was there and I was like, hey, could you take reference photos of like this and this and this? So this is like part of her actual dorm room.
Oh, that's so great.
And so her roommate side is like based on a little bit of what my sister had set up her freshman year of college.
Oh my God. And that's so great.
Yeah. I took all that and, but the furniture is what I had when I was in college. So I kind of took everything from Best of Both Worlds. So if you recognize anything from Muhlenberg or Ringling College,
that's why.
Because
it is.
Because it is.
I love that. And Charlie's roommate is a theater major.
Mm-hmm.
So that works.
Works out.
Charlie gets a text. So this was me trying to introduce a character that you're definitely not going to meet for a while. That's a spoiler, but this is Charlie's sister, Allie. So just know that Charlie has a sister. Her name is Allie. And they have a, you know, classic sibling relationship, as we can see via this text.
Yeah,
and
it was funny because it reminded me of conversations with my sister.
Same. My sister's always, we're always, like, texting each other about our parents. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's always that, like when she says, like, oh, mom owes me $20. It's like you're always either talking with your sibling about your parents or your parents about your sibling.
Yeah.
If that's your family structure. And I think that's very funny.
It's funny because, like, I was vacationing with my family this weekend, and my sister and I were in the hotel room, and our parents were asleep, and we were texting about my dad snoring in the hotel room right next to each other. So, yeah, very relatable.
I love that. So then it's presumably the next day or later that day. I don't remember when we said it was, but it's the student activities fair. Woo! Mm. Let me pull up the script. I think I might have had a ridiculous reference for this. No, I didn't. But in my head, I was thinking about the scene in Pitch Perfect where What's-Her-Face, like, goes, like, literally to, like, the student activities fair. Mm-hmm. And then that's when she stumbles on the Bellas. I really liked that first movie and never saw the other ones. So this is the student activities fair at GoCast, which is the –
yeah.
This is how we're going to call – or what we'll call the college from now on. And this was fun. My wife, shout out to my wife, Robin, who's amazing, who's been very helpful in coming up with some of the sillier things. And actually, I should say this, Robin came up with the title for this whole book, which is Avant-Gardes, which is a fun play on arts and sports.
Yeah, I thought that was so great.
Like, it blew my mind. I was like, whoa.
It was funny because when we did these pages, the page before where Charlie's in the dorm room and then these this page and like the next two pages after that, like we didn't have a title yet.
Yeah.
And so like I was calling the files like hoops.
Yes. Like, yes. I got some documents from Boom said hoops. And I was like, that's so funny. I'm like, like what a horrible title. Like, can you imagine if it was called hoops?
Yeah. And I was like, this can't be it, but I don't know what else. I like don't want to pick something long.
No, I was calling it like Untitled Sports Comic, which is ridiculously long too. So we had a fun time, Robin and I helped. Robin helped me come up with some of the names of the different tables for the different organizations. So we have a Dungeons and Dragons table, obviously very important. Higher Art, which is the Campus Stoners, which is sort of in the grand tradition of people in movies about schools.
Yeah.
Introducing the groups of people, like Clueless, they introduce the Stoner. It's just like that group, you have to have that. And so this is our version of that.
I'm glad they let me keep the paintbrushes and the bong.
It's so funny.
I was going to do more, but I was like, let's not push it.
It's so good. There's so many like funny like little things that you put into these, and I love. This table is something. The next one is Living Dramatically, which was inspired by, there's a bit in 30 Rock where Jenna Maroney says she's petitioning the Tony Awards to come up with a new category called Living Theatrically in Normal Life or something. And that sort of inspired this. And I love that one of these people definitely looks like a vampire.
Yeah, I was like, okay, what's like method acting stuff? Because that was in the notes. Vampires. So I was like, okay, well, obviously you have to have the Joker and then Fight Club. And then I was like, a vampire, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. My description was the most dramatic kids method acting as a lifestyle. And then we have Endless Possibilities, which is obviously people who like food and cooking food. The Arpeggios, which are your sort of on-campus musician types.
Arpeggios.
Oh, my God. That's so embarrassing that I asked.
You remember how you said I did band for 10
Yeah, you would
years.
Know. I was definitely wrong there. I apologize. Then a group that will factor into the story a bit as we go on, the Coven. That's just the name. Mm-hmm. They're the Coven. They're the only one. They don't have a more clever name than that. And we actually meet one of our characters, Tiffany, at this table, but we don't know yet that she's one of our characters. And then a basketball rolls up and hits Charlie in the foot, and Charlie picks up the ball, turns around, and there's a very tall person standing next to her whose name is Jay. And this is another one of our main characters.
Yes.
And Jay, do you want to talk about character design first?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It was actually kind of the same situation with Charlie.
Oh.
And then I don't know what I was doing when I was like, let's do one that has like a sleeve. And then we picked one that didn't have a sleeve. And
but then I said
Shannon
we needed the sleeve.
It was like, can we bring back the sleeve? And I was like, crap.
Sorry, I really liked the sleeve.
Yeah, I did too. And I was like, you're going to hate yourself. But
oh, it's so good though.
Yeah, but it's so good.
And so, I'm like, sure it's really annoying.
But I was like, okay, well, I actually based it off of the Iron Bull's tattoos in Dragon Age, because that was like the one sleeve I knew how to draw.
That's so good.
I was like, so if you recognize that's where that came from. But yeah, Jay was actually like one of my favorite characters to draw, because when we were kind of going, we designed everyone at the same time, basically. And we have all these characters that have like such big and strong personalities, and Jay's more of the like the introverted one. Mm-hmm. And so and they're so tall too, so I was like, okay, how do you balance that like small personality but takes up a lot of space? And so when I was picking like costume design for them, I was like, okay, well, let's like think about like more like non-binary fashion and like where we can take that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, and like what I wanted to see out of like more like genderqueer characters in terms of fashion. I was like, well, I need representation too, right? Like I'm like queer as hell, and I can't dress myself for shit. So like, I was like, I'll just dress Jay like me.
That's so wonderful.
So that was like where the Crocs came in. We don't get to see the Crocs for a while, but
there will be Crocs. They're coming.
They were in the character designs, and I was like, yeah.
I died when I saw the Crocs in the character designs. I was like, this is so perfect.
That's what I got for my birthday this year.
Oh my God, that's so nice. Yeah. I heard they're very comfortable.
They're so comfortable. Yeah. And I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't care anymore. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to grade school anymore. Who cares? I work from home, so like, no one even sees me.
Might as well
anymore.
Be comfortable.
I like wear what Jay wears, like all the, like, basically, if Jay's wearing it, I have it.
That is amazing. Oh, that's so funny.
So, yeah, that's where I'm like, okay, let's just, like, what I would do. Because I'm introverted, too. So I just kind of like, all right, let's do that.
That's so cool. I love that we're able to, we haven't even, like, really gotten to ever sit and talk about, like, the inspiration behind any of it. Like, it's a lot of just, like, emailing back and forth about things.
It's been so fast.
And it's been very fast. Yeah. So this is also, like, very fun for me to do this. Yeah. I'm, like, really loving this. I think my initial character description of Jay was a gentle non-binary giant.
Yes.
A person of few words, but, like, one of those people that when they do speak, you listen because they're not the chatty one. I'm always the chatty one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really refreshing when there's, like, the person who, like, isn't that. And so for me, that was definitely Jay's character. And the physical descriptions I gave, I think, were both WNBA players. Just because Jay is such a, like, clearly, like, a basketball player build, like, very tall and, like, eats, breathes, sleeps basketball. Like, that's, like, that kind of personality. So the people I picked for that were two WNBA players, Brittany Griner and Simone Augustus, who I think both of them have sleeve tattoos also.
Yes, that's where the tattoos came from.
Yeah.
Because I was like, all right, well, we got to do it.
Yeah. And then I was like, once I saw them, I was like, yeah, it's really good. So Charlie meets Jay, and Jay's a very large person, so is almost kind of blocking. There's almost like a reveal, like Charlie has to look around them to see the table. And then we meet the rest of the team with their really slapdash mess of a banner.
Yeah.
Clearly handwritten, falling off the table. And we meet in the most overwhelming way possible. We meet Olivia, who is really the real protagonist of the story. I tried to do something different with this book where the first issue is kind of seen through Charlie's eyes because she's the new student. And so you sort of follow her into this world. But what you're but really, I for me, really, it's Liv's story. I mean, it's really an ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
But once we get into it, I really feel like I consider Liv to be, if we had to pick one protagonist, it would be Liv. But yeah, so we meet everyone via Charlie bumping into the basketball, and hence we meet the team. And so Liv is a very energetic person, very outgoing, very extroverted. I think, how did I describe her?
Your first note was like Leslie Knope, but sporty.
Sporty Leslie Knope, I think, was the first note. You're right. And my visual references for her were
Janelle Monáe.
Yes, Janelle Monáe and a basketball player. Which basketball player? It might have been Jewel Lloyd, who plays for Seattle. But yeah, her inspiration was quite a bit Janelle Monáe.
Yeah.
Kind of like small, compact, mm-hmm. and like full of energy.
Yeah.
And personality-wise, like a real go-getter, a real Leslie Knope type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've been saying, I think I told this to Shannon at the holiday party this year. But like I kind of took the Leslie Knope part of it, and I was like, okay, like that's good, but like how can we push it more? So mm-hmm. I've been taking a lot of acting cues from SpongeBob, actually.
That makes so much sense. She's such a cartoon, like a cartoonish character.
Yeah. So like everything when like I need to like push poses for her, I'm like, okay, how would I draw SpongeBob in this situation?
That's so, I love this insight into your process. Yeah.
And so like that's where a lot of like her character acting comes from like an animation perspective, because you know Leslie Knope is like great, but it's like taking it from real life, so mm-hmm. you have to like push things and
exactly
and everything like that.
Something I've also been trying to do is like really push things into like a more like cartoonish, like outlandish version of reality in this, because I feel like, so the first comic I wrote a year, 2 years ago, was called Heavy Vinyl. And that one's, like, I've kept it so realistic that with this one, I was like, I just, and it's funny because like neither of these books are like superheroes or like anything fantasy. Like everything is just could happen. Mm-hmm. But for this one, I was like, I have no reason not to just go ridiculous.
Which worked out because I had just like come off Wet Hot American Summer. So it was like, that's still in my brain. Mm-hmm. So it was a little easier transition from Wet Hot American Summer to this than Goldie Vance to Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was like, now like my mom has to tell people like, oh, Noah's got a new comic, but this one's not for children. Now I'm back to more
back
like
towards
YA stuff.
Yeah.
But
that's so funny.
I'm like, I had a bad like introduction in terms of like my audience because now I'm going to get like my like adult like from my parents' fan base like they're going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry, you can't buy Noah's comics for your kids anymore.
Yeah. But this is YA.
Yeah.
It's like very, you know, youth friendly. And Liv is just like Liv is like an atomic particle that bounces off all the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the SpongeBob analogy is so apt. I love that. And she's just going to get more ridiculous as we get in. She is a very optimistic person, definitely, and you can kind of get a sense immediately that Charlie is maybe a pessimist or at least in a kind of a down place in her life at the moment. You know, she's this new kid on campus, doesn't have any friends, clearly just a little trying to find her way in the world. And so Liv is sort of the opposite of that. She's very confident, very really knows who she is and is very energetic and positive all the time.
Yeah.
And so we meet Liv and then, we quickly meet Nicole and Ashley, but we'll get back to them because we then go into Tiffany, who's one of my favorite characters.
She is one of my favorites to design.
I bet. Actually, the designs for her were really fun.
They were so much fun. And part of it is like just struggling to like keep that same energy that were in the concept sketches, like in her like final character design that makes it in the comics because, you know, the schedule's so fast, you don't always get the time to like refine every single drawing. Mm-hmm. And having to keep Tiffany's whole energy in every single panel is like, it's a real challenge. Because
she contains multitudes.
Yeah, she contains multitudes.
I love this background in the last panel on this page.
Rebecca did a great job.
It's so good. Shout out to Rebecca Nalty.
Our colorist.
She's amazing. We've both worked with her previously.
Yes.
And she lives in Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we don't get to hang out with her.
No.
Which is a bummer. So, Rebecca, please come visit. And we can do this again with all three of us.
Yes.
I'm just inviting us back onto this podcast. Sorry, Ben. We meet – the people we really meet in this scene are Liv and Tiffany. Tiffany is going to be both in the coven and on the basketball team. Which you can just tell that's going to be very mm-hmm. silly.
Who did you do for Tiffany?
Oh,
I don't even remember now.
I think Tessa Thompson was one of the people.
Yes, it was Tessa Thompson.
Oh, I can't remember.
And
now.
It was one other person. And it wasn't a sport. She was the only one who didn't have a sports person.
Which kind of works because she's the least athletic of the group.
Oh, who was it?
Oh. I'm not on the Wi-Fi, so I can't check. It's in a Google Doc. You know what? I can pull it up on my phone.
Okay.
I'll do that while
I'll keep
continue.
Talking.
Keep talking.
I'll just like visually describe where we were thinking for Tiffany. We kind of had all the same sort of, like heights and like proportions, but I kind of went different directions in terms of like what type of witchy she is. Mm. So it was a lot of like one version had like really long, long, big hair and like a lot of accessories and like a lot of like poofy costuming. And then one had like more of the form fitting stuff that we went with. And then the third one was, kind of more streamlined and, like mid-century, I would say, like more mm-hmm. like 90s, 80s type.
Yeah, that witch of popular culture, that like sort of gothy thing.
Yeah, more Buffy mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so we went with the more like form-fitting, modern, like simplistic one, which I think was interesting because it kind of plays on like flipping the stereotype of like more of the witchy look.
Totally. Yeah. I think like, yeah.
Though she used to have really long hair in that one. And then we went with short hair from one of
yes.
the other designs.
I this hair like really spoke to me. Yeah. I was just like, this is really, really
it's so
good.
Fun to draw. So
I'm glad that one's fun to draw and yeah. isn't like,
it's like Tiffany's like hard to like capture like energy wise, but I do love drawing her hair.
Oh my God. She has great hair. Okay. I just found my initial character descriptions. And it was Tessa Thompson and Skylar Diggins Smith, who's actually a WNBA player.
Okay. We didn't have
so one. That one did have a basketball and a acting
I
person.
Think it was Tiffany who didn't have one.
That's Nicole didn't.
Nicole. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nicole will be coming up shortly.
See, I have to like, I have our character lineup above my desk yeah. with everyone's names on top.
So I just keep this Google Doc open at all times so I can always jump back. Sometimes it just gets confusing, especially when you're writing it because you're not seeing them. So mm-hmm. like I'll see them in my head, but sometimes I lose track of like, wait, who was just talking? What is happening? Mm-hmm. And then that's just confusing. So we meet them and we meet this whole idea of essentially the inciting incident, I guess, is that there's a basketball team forming at this art school. And they need one more player to be eligible, and they want that player to be Charlie. And Charlie's kind of not into it. Specifically, she says she's not into the being in part of a group, part of a club, part of a team.
I work alone.
Yeah, exactly. she's our Batman. It's really funny you say that because, I can get into this later, but the way I came up with the characters is I basically started with, I did my take on sort of the classic like Seven Samurai tropes, like mm-hmm. Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven.
I remember that was like in the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you actually look at kind of how that breaks down, Liv would be like the hero. But Charlie would be what they call the Lancer, which is sort of like the like bad, good person mm-hmm. who's like the badass, like the jerk, like a little bit of a jerk, but also mm-hmm. like Batman.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the Justice League.
It's totally, this is gay basketball Justice League. So then Olivia is like, please, please consider it. Hands her a professionally made business card, which is just one example of many to come of how ridiculously prepared and professional Liv is all the time.
Yeah. I deliberated on this business card for so long.
It's perfect, though. It combines her two passions.
It was so hard because it was like, we only get so much space to show it, and there's so much information on it. I was like, how do we, like, get that all in there? And I was like, it took me, like, 2 years to design my own business card.
I know.
And I don't have that kind of time, so.
Yeah.
But it turned out all right.
It worked perfect. Yeah. It worked really perfectly. And there's sort of, this is sort of also where we hint at maybe a potential romance between Liv and Charlie. You know, they have some glances at each other. Charlie's a little bit charmed by Liv's energy, despite really not wanting to be. It's nice cardstock. You know, she's looks over her shoulder. You know, it's just a little like, rom-com-y.
Like Batman and Superman.
Exactly. That's like really what we were going for. So then we jump to several days later. We're back in Charlie's dorm room. Her room is like maybe 5% more unpacked. Not mm-hmm. much. Still boxes. It's like a little more lived in. And I specifically asked for a Y Tu Mama También poster on the wall because I decided that was Charlie's favorite movie. Just a thing I decided. I liked it.
It was fun recreating the poster.
Yeah, like, it looks great.
Writing it down to the
the bare essential.
Parts.
Yeah. And as this is an art school, this is also foreshadowing to, and I mean, not even foreshadowing, but just like, this is a thing that she would love because she is a cinematographer, filmmaker type. That's what she's at this school for. So, it would make sense that she would love a film like that. And so she's clearly had the Olivia business card. It's a little crumpled.
That's what happens to my business cards that I get from other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It happens to mine when I carry them with me, like I'm going to give mm-hmm. them out and then I don't and take them home. And
yeah. I have to get like the really thick ones. So they don't bend.
But those are like nice. When you hand someone like the thicker business card, they're like, oh.
Yeah.
expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Except I have to get new ones. I hate how I drew my hair.
So Charlie is just bored and sad and pulls out her high school yearbook. And we see, you know, just classic yearbook moment. She's looking at it. She's fondly recalling her time on the team. But then you turn the page and you see these sort of like fun, candid shots. And you realize that Charlie's not in any of them.
Yeah.
And that starts bringing up some less than happy memories.
And I loved doing this scene, these two pages where she's laying on the bed. And then she like turns over and grabs the book, and it's so quiet and like intimate, and it's so rare you get to do those like moments in comics. And like being from like an animator background, that was like such a treat to do, with like that little character study of how she'd move and like move her limbs around and like mope and stuff. It was like such a treat. Those were like my favorite pages out of the book.
And that's funny that, because, like, that sort of stuff, like, I have to put that stuff in, but I think it's because I have a filmmaking background. Because, like, for me, it's so often so difficult to pick, like, what is the one frame that would represent this moment? Because I'm picturing it moving.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, like, the challenge, which is a fun challenge. And it's, like, trying different things. Like, sometimes it'll just be one frame that will represent this whole thing, and then sometimes you want to break it down. And, yeah, I love putting in those, like, those little character moments.
Do it more.
Also, something funny, speaking of the way she was moving, in the script I wrote, Charlie is lying on her bed with her legs up the wall, too gay to sit normally.
I love that note.
Which is very silly and makes me very happy. And you captured it beautifully. Yeah. So, yeah, she has sort of mixed feelings about her time on a basketball team is what we're gathering. And, yeah, her room is definitely a little more put away. There's less boxes, but there are still boxes. So now we're sort of at a little, another kind of character moment with Charlie.
We got to do a lot of character moments in this book, which was exciting for me, especially coming off of Wet Hot American Summer, which was like a big ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And so you didn't get to spend a lot of time with a particular character. And now, like, I got to sit and like spend time with someone and really get to know them and how they're processing things. And I really took a lot of it from like my own experience, because I went to college like on the other side of the country, didn't know anyone, like, so I spent like the first most of the semester by myself. And so, and it wasn't necessarily like because I didn't get along with anyone or anything. It was just like, I was adjusting to like the new environment. And, you know, I was like, you know, friends will come later. We've got 4 years. It'll be fine. And so like these kinds of scenes, it was fun to kind of revisit that. Even though it was like, from Charlie's perspective, it's more of a frustration. But yeah, these next couple panels were fun to kind of compose and
draw
people having fun.
Having fun around Charlie, who's moping, essentially.
And I think I redid this page a couple times in the thumbnail process, because for a while I had her flipping back and forth and she was kind of jumping around on the page. But I was like, it'll feel more like we're clicking past, like, set, like, if this was a movie, we'd be.
I was totally picturing this as like
with her in the
montage,
same place. Yeah. And I was like, it'll work better if she's always in the same place. We just see her back until we get to the gym.
Yeah. And I love that you don't see her face. I just think that's great. Yeah. So then we get to her at the gym. I love the posters. Lift with a pal. You kill me with these. And we go inside the gym. So it's an art school. So, of course, the gym is probably not normally used for sports. As we've already been told, this would be the first time they would even have a sports team at all. So there's remnants of a new production in the gym. And also, Liv is in the gym. And this page has no dialogue on it.
If you look close, you can tell what production I'm going for.
There's like, wow, a lot of pages with no dialogue. I didn't even realize I did that. What production are you going for? I see a castle. I see a cow.
Want to take a guess?
Oh, probably going to embarrass myself.
Should I say? Because we're going back to the
gym.
That's
true. We are going to keep coming back to it. I think let's not say.
So let's see if you can guess.
Everyone, you have to guess. Let us know what you think.
That's a pretty big giveaway, though.
Every time we come back to it, we're going to see more of this production that's being, that's underway. So Liv is playing basketball. Charlie comes in, tries to be quiet, opens up one of those old metal chairs, and it makes a horrendous noise. And she says this line that I love, which is, "I'm not a T-Rex, I can see you," which is like a joke I would make. And the look on Charlie's face when she's caught is so funny.
This coming into the scene was such a challenge because we're setting up for a really long conversation between Liv and Charlie. And you made it so easy to stage it. It was like trying to decide what I wanted to go for in terms of like where everyone would be. And I'm trying to decide if I should like talk about that after we get through the scene.
Maybe after. And, okay, so we can kind of see where they end up and like how you got
there. You give your commentary and then we'll go back and go through the art.
Okay, perfect. And also I feel like we were talking so much, so I'm going to try to go quick. So basically it's just them sort of, the meet cute continuing with a lot of tension, but also there's something under it, I think. And we kind of get a little more insight into Charlie. She talks, and I'm just kind of flipping through this whole scene, not exactly specifically sticking to a certain page. So if you're following along, just, it's the scene. She says that she shoots around to clear her head. An empty court first thing in the morning is like church. I'm not a religious person, but when I go, there's this one basketball court that my team that I currently play on practices, and there's these windows up at the top, just like how you drew it. And the sun shines in this like beautifully diffused way. And it's just like this, when there's no one in there and it's really quiet, it's like, it's beautiful. It's just such a like beautiful still moment. And it's just quiet and it's a basketball court and it's just, I don't know. I wanted us to try to recreate that here a little bit. And I think your visuals definitely pulled it off.
Thank you.
And then, you know, Liv's like, "I thought you didn't play basketball." And Charlie's like, "No, no, I play basketball. I just don't want to join a team right now." And, you know, Charlie's a little coy. They have some more banter. Charlie calls her pushy and too familiar, which is something I think, I don't know, I think that's something that people don't talk about a lot. Like when you meet someone and they're like, too familiar, you're like, you don't know me.
Yeah.
Like we just met. Like they have like, it's not like they're like friends on Twitter, you know, like they don't know each other at all.
Mm-hmm.
And like Liv is clearly into her. And Charlie's trying to put up every wall she can think of. And so I just thought that was kind of fun. Mysterious new girl vibes, more basketball playing. Clearly, Charlie is very good at basketball. We'll find out more about just how good she is later in other issues. But you can tell she's good and she knows what she's doing. Liv tries to convince her to join the team, talks about how much she loves being on a team. I love being on a team. I love bonding with the team, leading the team. She loves group projects. No one loves group projects. You have to do all the work and you have to split credit. I know. She's ridiculous. And Charlie kind of talks about, so this was something I wanted to talk about in this series, which is that, for me, like playing team sports growing up was not the super positive, cool experience that people tell you it is. Mm-hmm. For me, it was more like Charlie's experience. A lot of mean girls, a lot of angry coaches, and a lot of panic attacks. I used to regularly get panic attacks playing on my high school team for a variety of reasons. And a lot of that informed Charlie's sort of background and where her story is coming from and also where it's going. Because I now play on a team as an adult, and it's been this incredibly wonderful experience. And I'm like, oh, I wish I had more of like this experience when I played on teams as a kid, but I didn't really have that. I felt really alone and not like I was part of a team. Like I was like the pariah of the team would be more appropriate way to describe it, I think. So anyway, so that's where Charlie's coming from. And Liv is just desperately trying to convince her that this is not going to be like that, and this can be such a wonderful experience for everybody. And then we get to Liv kind of giving her explanations, the amount of work that she's put into trying to get this team off the ground. And this is the page where I think I gave like very little visual description. It's just a lot of dialogue, and I was just like, this is like what she's doing, and this is all the dialogue. And then Noah, when you came back with this like basketball template kind of idea, I was like, I like giggled. Like I like reading the PDF, I was like, ah, Like, I was just so delighted. I love that you did that.
And it was funny because coming into the scene when you were like, you know, just figure out what to do with this. And it was fine because, like I had had pages like that on Goldie and on Wet Hot American Summer. But this one where it was like, I had the idea so quickly in my head.
Oh, that's so great.
And then I was like, wait, this is the only time I can use this panel layout. Do I want to use it now?
I think it's perfect.
And I was like, well, you know, it's the first issue. I think that's the best time to use it.
I agree. Yeah. And I was truly enchanted by that layout.
And it works so well with like the beats of the conversation that like the panels worked out to make it
awesome.
Too.
And then, so they just keep shooting around, and they have a kind of a cute moment where, Liv teasingly calls, Charlie, because she hasn't missed a shot yet in the scene, calls her Diana Taurasi, which is shout out to me for deciding that that was one of her visual references. So good job, me. And they have kind of a cute little panel, and I love the way, Rebecca colored this panel. Yeah. It's so just like, rom-com, like time stood still for a moment.
Yeah, it was funny because in Wet Hot American Summer, I worked with Rebecca and we had a panel where, and I emailed her because I was like, hey, make sure this panel put as many shoujo anime sparkles as possible. And she's like, I love to do that stuff. So I was like, great. I had all the confidence that she'd bring it back on this one.
Perfect. And then, so they kind of just have this little moment that's very cute. Liv says she has lines to memorize because that's Liv's thing. She's an actor. That's why she's at this school. And then Charlie I think Charlie's under Liv's spell a little bit and can't let her just walk out of there. And so she says, if you can make a shot from half court, I'll join the team. Half court shots are quite difficult and are mostly luck. And
buckets.
She missed. She was close, though. Really close, but she did miss. And it kind of gives us a chance to kind of let Liv kind of have the last word, which is wonderful. And so it kind of stuns Charlie a little bit. So then I know you wanted to talk before we jump into the next scene. Let's just talk about the visuals,
like the art direction
of this very lengthy scene in one location with a lot of dialogue,
which was like so exciting because I love doing dialogue scenes. I think it's because like one of the first big comics I read was Death Note, and that's all dialogue scenes. That's all it is just talking heads. and it's funny because like that would be like criticisms I'd get in art school is like all your comics are talking heads, but I'm like, but I'm analyzing like this, I'm changing the characters, like they're reacting to things, and it's not just like drawing a portrait and another portrait and there's speech bubbles around. Like I really liked getting into the psychology of how people interacted with each other. And so when this scene showed up in the script, I was like, yes, this is like my thing. This is what I love to do.
Good to know. There's going to be a lot of that.
Yeah. And so, like setting up this scene and staging it was, really kind of fun and a challenge because I was like, the energy of this scene is Charlie and Liv, like, feeling each other out and really getting to know each other. And even though Liv acts like she knows Charlie, she really doesn't.
For sure.
And coming in the scene, you know, where you say Liv gets the last word and kind of flips the tables, I tried to like represent that in like the staging. So when you get into the scene, Charlie's always on the left side of the panel. So she's always the first person you see.
That is so cool.
So even though Liv's trying to carry it, Charlie always has the upper hand visually, even when she's sitting down and Liv's standing over her. She's always the first person you see because you're reading left to right. And as they keep going on the conversation and as like a side note, when you mentioned like the dialogue being like it was like church and it was such an influence of scene, it's like picturing what it sounded like and the emptiness and like emphasizing like the intimacy of the scene and everything like that. And like, so much of it was like just trying to suggest the background as much as possible. And like
that sort of thing. And Rebecca did a great job kind of breaking up visually and giving you, like, you're letting your eyes rest and then giving you stuff to look at as well.
Totally.
And, but as I keep talking, and then we get to the page where Liv gets the ball and they start playing with each other, and then she flips to the left side, and now Liv has the upper hand on the conversation because now she's on the left.
That is so cool. I love that.
And it was great because when I was laying it out, this was the page that was giving me problems. So I was like, how am I going to move them around? Mm. And then I was like, wait, like, we can just have them switch sides.
Yeah.
And it, like, adds so much more to, like, the dynamics visually and all that stuff. So it worked out great.
Oh, that's so great.
That thing. And then, again, and then the panel, I can never use again.
Maybe you can use it in the final issue.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say.
You can use it in issue 12. We only can do it in the first and the last issue.
Liv's last, like, victory speech. Yeah. And it's flashbacks to all their adventures.
All their adventures. That's perfect. That's going to be in issue 12. Look, you guys can look forward to that. Yeah.
And then I kind of suggested bringing back the motif of the cover. Now I'm trying to bring back that, like, as much as possible. As, like,
that's,
we break
so great.
Into, like, more of the, like, the abstract scenes that don't necessarily, like, mm-hmm. take place in reality, like those like anime moments. And so, like, I kind of wanted to keep that, like, graphic design of, like, the like old school comic book look with the, like, the three color print mm-hmm. thing, you know.
That's so great.
Or four color.
It totally works.
Yeah. But now we're back.
So yeah, so Charlie has left the gym and she goes back to her dorm room. So now we actually get to meet her roommate, whose name is Amber, and she is a theater major, and she really thought that she was going to get a single this semester and instead got stuck with the transfer student. She's not happy about it. So Charlie opens the door, sees this, overhears the conversation. It's just more moments of Charlie feeling alone and feeling lost.
Yeah.
So this is sort of, you know, she's in the kind of the common area of the dorms, and just more people around her who have friends and have things to talk about and have those interactions. And she's just feeling very alone. And so the last scene ended with Liv saying, "You have my number, text me." Mm-hmm. And so then this scene ends with Charlie on her phone, presumably texting Liv.
And this was another, like, fun character scene I got to do with Charlie, just kind of how she'd move and that whole thing. And doing that panel of her on the couch was a lot of fun.
That's how I sit on a couch, too.
Yeah. Same.
Or when I'm awake. If I'm asleep on the couch, obviously, I'm laying down. Sometimes sitting up, actually. Sometimes you just fall asleep. You know? It happens. So then that night, we are at the dining hall on campus. And I love the way you drew this with, like, the big kind of, like, popping out Charlie moment here on the left.
I've always wanted to do that in a comic,
really,
and I haven't
cool.
had an excuse until now. And I was like, yes, I can do it. It's like
the like a character enters the room. And so we're seeing the team at a table, and Liv waving her arms is so funny. This, like, far away shot of her, like, waving her arms cracks me up every time. And she's so excited that Charlie's there. And, you know, y'all remember Charlie, right? And now, for the first time, Charlie is laughing and smiling and appears to be genuinely having a good time. And so I thought that was a nice place to end the first issue.
Yeah.
We still don't know if she's going to join the team, but she has met some friends. And that's a very exciting first step for Charlie. Do you want to say anything about – I want to talk about the additional characters that we haven't covered yet.
Yes.
Since they pop up here again. But is there anything else about the visuals of the dining hall or anything like that?
Yeah. Actually, it's, like, kind of funny because when we got to the scene, like, it was another, like, real-life experience to come from. And because when I met my group of friends in college, it was in the dining hall. And, like – and it was, like – I overheard them talking about going to watch The Red Wedding for Game of Thrones. And I was like, hey, can I come too? And they're like, yeah, sure. And so, and like, I almost had this exact same experience, of, like, joining a friend group like this. And so it was, like, kind of fun and nostalgic to, like, go back to that moment and draw on it from that. And like, and then it's, like, the first scene where you get to see everyone together and stuff. And, I guess there's like some other little things of like, I was really conscious of like what everyone was eating.
I wasn't even like paying attention to that much, but now that I'm looking at it, it all makes perfect sense.
Like I was like, maybe, you know, Nicole is more of like a salad sort of girl and, like, Ash has, you know, a protein chicken sandwich and Charlie's got her chicken nuggets and fries and a cookie.
Which is exactly what I would have gotten also, so it makes sense. That's great.
Tiffany has soup and tea, and I don't think I had decided what Jay was eating yet, so I left that off. And I think I like...
Oh, the plate's empty-ish.
I don't remember what Jay was supposed to be eating.
Well, we go back to the scene in the second issue,
which is funny because I finished this and I was like, okay, I never have to draw this dining hall scene again.
Whoops.
Nope,
you're going to have to draw it in more detail. Yeah. Sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm like ruining your life.
You're putting me through the ringer.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, but like you're doing such a good job.
It was good to come back to it, though. I did need to come back to it. So it worked out.
Emotionally.
Yeah, emotionally.
Psychologically, it was a full circle. Mm-hmm. There's a few characters we haven't talked about yet. And then, this is the last page. So then we're almost done here, guys. Yay.
Yay.
So we talked about Jay and we talked about Tiffany and Charlie.
Yeah. We talked about this side of the table.
Yes. And then the side that we can't see as well.
Yeah.
Is the two other characters are Ashley and Nicole. And so Ashley is this sort of like larger than life, very, very extroverted, but like very silly, like just a clown. Mm-hmm. Like she's always just.
We get to see that in the second issue.
Second issue, she goes way over the top with
She's
it. It's amazing.
She's almost worse than Liv.
I think she is, but it's a different kind of like I feel like Ash strikes me as like a real prankster, and like Liv is definitely not into pranks. Like that would be like too much for her, unless it was a prank where you like gave someone a puppy.
Yeah, going with our Justice League, it's like Superman versus the Flash.
Absolutely, totally the Flash. And I don't want to say anything else about Ashley, really, because I feel like we reveal a lot more about her in the second issue and what her role in all of this is going to be. So I'm going to kind of leave that out for now.
Yeah, but designing her was fun.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that.
Because we kind of had two bigger characters who were, like, tall and, like, took up a lot of space. And they're so opposite to each other.
Personality-wise.
Yeah. And so when, like, doing, like, the silhouetting process, trying to, like, figure that out and... So I made sure Ash had more like shapes and things like that.
She is shapes.
Jay's more straight up and down, but like Ash's got like calves for days. And
her calves were my favorite part of the drawing. I was like, look at those calves. Those are amazing calves.
I think because like I really liked the shapes I had done for Liv like initially, and I was like, okay, I got to push that more for Ash. And like the sporty look is fun too.
Yeah, Ash is just like, I just said this already, but like larger than life. Like she does sports, she parties, she is just like an incredibly outgoing and entertaining individual.
And the short hair was like a last minute.
That was a last minute change. Well, I realized that like everyone kind of had longer hair and I was like, oh, I'm like, I have short hair. Someone should have short hair.
Yeah.
That's literally all it was. I think I texted Shannon. I was like, you know how you and I have short hair? Someone in the book needs to have short hair. And she was like, how about Ashley? And I was like, great.
Yeah. And it was like, it was like the best decision too, because her like hair silhouettes were kind of like not as interesting as everyone else.
Yeah. It wasn't like standing out as much.
She had a bun for initially, like straight pulled back.
Yeah.
And it was kind of too similar to Liv in a sense. Liv's got the ponytails, but they both have like the pulled back, like to the skull hair.
Yeah.
And so adding, I think we did like three variations. It was like spiky hair, totally shaved.
Yes.
And
this one and like just felt right.
Yeah.
And And you'll get to, obviously you'll get to know everybody a lot more, but you'll get to know Ashley more. And I think Ashley is also one of those people, and this is just like a thing I love doing. It's like giving like female characters like boy names, like that's just like something that's fun, or like just names that you like. Obviously, everyone in this book has like a very traditionally, like for the most part, like traditionally like girl name, like Tiffany and like Nicole. But the thing I love about Ashley is like she has this very like butch looking hair, but she is like a much more feminine presenting person once you kind of get into the story, and that's I just think that's really fun because you don't get to see that a lot.
I'm really excited to do her outfits.
Oh, yeah. She's good outfits.
Yeah.
And then our final character we haven't talked about yet is Nicole.
Yeah.
I think everyone pretty much calls her Nick, but she prefers Nicole. And she's going to yell at them about that eventually. Love the undercut. Great, great character design for her. I think the only character description. Oh, wait, I didn't say the character. I'm so sorry. The character that I, the physical description reference for Ashley was, Liz Cambage, who's an Australian WNBA player who is super tall and like very feminine, but also like, she just seems like the most fun person on earth. I would love to, if you're listening, obviously she is listening to
you
this.
You sent me some like great ones of her in a dress.
Yeah.
And like that was like, it clicked for me.
Totally.
On that one.
And the other reference is an actor who's actually a friend of mine, Breonna Baker, who personality wise is like, it's like right on. Okay, so then Nicole, the only visual reference I gave for this one was Awkwafina. But I feel like that was enough.
Yeah, it was. And we kind of went through a couple different iterations with her.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of pulled, we like went back to the first one because the other ones got too young and too girly.
That's right. It was like too youthful.
Yeah.
Where I was like, it almost, cause she's already like a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I didn't want it to seem like she was like someone's like little sister or something.
And it was like fun pieces I was putting together, but not like all together. It looked like she just walked out of like a Claire's.
That's such a funny,
like a limited two.
Oh my God.
Throwback. But
serious throwback.
But it kind of went in the right direction where she's kind of in between sporty and, like more like modern sensibilities. I drew way too many crop tops for 2011.
I mean, you know what? Maybe like
she's very fashion forward.
Very ahead of its time. Yeah. This book.
Yeah. And, cause she was the one who definitely had like the high waisted pants.
Yeah.
And like,
yes, I remember that. Yeah. The character design definitely had like very cool high-waisted
like the
pants.
Double-breasted high-waisted pants.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah. And so kind of jumping off of that, and I've always wanted to do a character with hair over the eye.
So you only have to draw half her face?
Yeah. Well, I think I just always thought it looked so cool.
It does look really cool.
That's like what all the cool girls did at school.
Yeah.
And
Nicole's kind of a cool girl.
She's the cool girl.
She's the cool girl.
And it's so fun. When you gave the notes where that she's on her phone in the beginning and just kind of running with that from there.
Yeah.
Having her posing in different ways on her
with
phone.
With a phone.
And like, I'm always making sure she's not always doing the same thing. She's always doing a different activity.
Something
she's
on
either
her phone.
Texting or like the ones where she takes the selfies are probably the most fun.
Those are so good. Those frames make me very happy.
I'm very excited to have people see those.
Yeah, I can't wait for everyone to see that. And then you'll get to know her. There's a lot about her that you won't know yet.
Because Snapchat had just come out too. So
oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has a whole Snapchatting.
There's reasons why she's on her phone all the time, but you don't know what they are yet. And I'm not gonna tell you. And yeah.
I think that's it.
I think that's everything.
Right at the
bottom. Thank you for listening to our comic book commentary. Avant-Garde's issue 1 is out now. And there will be 12 issues. They will come out once a month this whole year, which is wild. And we hope you like
it. Could you say it's an avant calendar?
What if I was like, the whole book needs to be written in the font Avant-Garde. I will hate it if it's not. We won't even do lettering. We're just going to use a font.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. So
that'll be our special edition version where you open one every month and it's a...
It's just like a picture of the cast. Drawing of the cast that you haven't seen before. And Tiffany's on her phone and all of them. Yeah. Or, sorry, Nicole. Whoops. Yeah. I can't even keep my own character.
Always get them mixed up.
Always. What else? Thank you, Ben, for letting us do this.
Yes, thank you, Ben.
This podcast is super awesome. I'm like a process nerd like Ben is, so this is really fun for me. I love hearing how other people work, and I love getting to explain my process, which is all over the place, generally speaking. that's just how I work. Okay, well, thank you for listening, and please continue to read our book.
Yes.
Please.
Have a lovely day.
Have a wonderful day.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.